Hour two of Overdrive. Mark Rowe in for Brian Hayes alongside Jeff O'Neill and Jamie McLennan. The boys are feeling good on a Monday. And when we started off the show, I was really happy to hear from you, Jeff, that during your vacation, you golfed. Because I was getting a little worried because before your vacation, you were talking about your shoulders being an issue and you might not be able to golf much this summer. So
I got that taken care of.
You rehabbed. You got the physio involved.
How do you been golfing? Like, have you only been once or twice? Like, how you hitting them?
First three times, garbage. Garbage enough where I was thinking, maybe this isn't going to work out anymore. And then it just takes that one time where just my buddy, he's a handyman, and he said, I want to play for some money. So I went out, and I had to spank him around the golf course, and it got my competitive juices flowing a little bit. So that made me feel good and kind of got me back on track. That's all it took.
Now, the real question during those bad rounds, what would you have shot at the National?
I'll tell you what, probably close to 100.
Okay, but not 200.
No, but I know the other guy's going to we're going to have an issue with that, by the way, because the National, they're not allowing members or guests right now. So I've been trying
we can push that back till July once they... You know, maybe when life gets back normal, they will allow guests, and then we could snivel in.
Maybe it's like the Masters; it has to get pulled off to the fall. Fall match.
Well, yeah, it's got to happen because people think that people pull me aside all over town all the time, and they're like, the 200 number is ridiculous, and I just put my arms up and I say, okay, that's fine. We'll see.
So what is the feedback? What's the feedback been? Are you more people saying it's ridiculous, or are they like leaners? You know what I mean? Leaning, going, I kind of agree with you.
Like, well, there's some people that are like, man, that's the hardest course. Mm-hmm. I had to get my car fixed, and the guys were like, you're right, man. He might shoot more than 200. Like, that's ridiculous, that course. And then there's other people that are like, well, the big thing is that he can be – like, he can play loser golf, which is he can take a putter off the tee and putt it 10 feet and then just play like that. If he wants to do that,
right?
I mean, that's a gutless, well, it's right up his alley.
Maybe there's a rule that he has to hit his driver a certain amount of times.
Right? No, he's just got to play normal golf. Like, he's usually 37 under at the No Balls Open, so he's gonna do wimpy stuff. Like, he's just gonna like lay up and say, you know what, give me the wedge. I'll hit the wedge off the tee, and then a 5-iron, then a wedge. And by the way, this gardening stuff, if you guys can't see through the gardening crap, he's looking for free gardening stuff.
He wants free mulch.
He wants mulch, he wants tools, he wants a lawnmower.
Yeah, but do you think there's a gardening company over there, out there going, we got to hook Hayes up? Like, I don't think so. Because what if he absolutely
but that's what
has
he's trying to do.
Okay, so
he's
yes,
trying
he
to
gets,
get gardening stuff.
So he gets free mulch and a lawnmower, and then somebody drives by their house and they go, what the hell is this guy doing out here? That's bad business.
No. What he's looking for? This is what I know he's looking for. He's looking for a landscaping company to do free advertising, and he takes a pic with them with the new gardens and everything, and it's pro bono, it's free stuff, and he says, look, my talk about gardening got me a free landscaping job. That's exactly what it's a gutless move. It's just like his golf game, and it's right up his alley.
I'm reminded of that conversation you had before your vacation, which I was listening to, when he said that you are a very impatient golfer to golf with. And
oh, yeah. He claims that I just drive my cart on and I don't pay attention to other people's shot. And it's just,
I could see you doing that. When he was describing, like, you looking like him teeing off and you're already looking at him going like, don't waste my time. And you're Trump. You're 60 yards ahead of everybody.
But if you are ahead of everyone and they found their ball, what are you supposed to do? I'm not going to go babysit someone and hold their hand to watch them hit their shot. I'm going to go. It's ready golf. You hit, then I hit. I heard that comment. It was so garbage.
Okay. Well, hey, we have someone on the line that can attest to what you're like to golf with. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Darcy Tucker. Darcy, great to have you on the show. I know that you probably miss Brian Hayes, the usual host of the show, but can you confirm or deny, yes, I'm stealing that segment, Jeff O'Neill is tough to play golf with?
No.
No, I love playing with Jeffy. We get around in 2 hours and 22 minutes. We just fly.
That's right. That's right. Just find your ball, hit it again.
But I bet you Tux, are you a good golfer, though?
Yeah, he is.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm above average. O usually digs in my pocket a little bit because he's all greasy. But for the most part, I'm not bad.
See, that's the thing. Like what Hayes is saying is O's a good golfer, and if you golf with good golfers, there's not a problem. But there's times where maybe he's chopping
Jamie,
it up.
Jamie, what we're talking about, if there's another person in the group that's hacking and whacking and slashing, sometimes the ball's just got to go in your pocket and say, you know what, take a 7 or an 8, and maybe that's enough.
Yeah, if you're in the bush whacking it around, pick it up and let's get on with the thing. I can't stand it either. Oh, I'm the same as you. I'm like, get your ball in your pocket. I played with a guy at the National that I took up there for years, and I told him, I said, your new nickname up here is Pocket because you need to be in it all day long.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of the National, and obviously O is a great golfer, so I don't mean to bring up, you know, a down moment in his golf career, but was there not an incident where O, you like five putted a green at the National with Darcy Tucker as your teammate?
One of my legendary moments with Tux. I had probably 9 feet for eagle and I made double bogey, and Tux was so mad at me.
I seen those were the two best shots. Driver, three wood butter cut to 6 feet, and then five jacked it on the green.
I don't know, that rattled me for a long time. I was like, man, that's like, okay, I was like, okay, you missed the eagle, now make birdie. But I started stick handling around that green, and it was ugly. And you were so mad at me walking off the green. We were in a tournament.
Yeah, it was the Ben Kern tournament, and you were so bad on that hole, I proceeded to hit it in the bush the next three holes myself because I was so pissed off.
Oh, man.
I love it. I love it.
Well, Darcy, if you're a hockey player right now, you're eagerly awaiting this playoff, whatever you want to kind of call it, to begin, and it's 6 to 8 weeks kind of at the earliest that you're playing or you're even practicing with your team. What's the bigger factor here going into the playoffs? Is it that you would be close to, if not 100% health-wise, or the fact that you're going to be playing really meaningful hockey and trying to get the rust off?
Well, if I'm a hockey player right now, everybody's in it. And that's the one thing that you go into this thing and nobody's like got the head start or nobody's going in hot. It's everybody kind of at the same pace. And I think it's going to make for some pretty interesting hockey, to tell you the truth. There's going to be a lot more mistakes made playoff time this year, and it's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot more games that might end up 7-4 or 7-5 than there would be in the past.
Tux, you're a big family guy. Your kids and your wife are so important, your whole family for that matter. Like, how much would that discussion be had? I know your wife would probably say, like, are you guys going to be safe, or what's the concern here? There'd be a lot of discussion in the household, wouldn't there be if this was going on?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, obviously knowing where you're going and what place you're going to be in is a big sticking point right now. So obviously you're having those discussions with your family right now. But, you know, I would personally want my family there. If I'm going to go on a long playoff run, I'd want my family there and be a part of it. I think it's important. I think most guys would feel the same way, that, you know, they want their families around that if they are going to, you know, get the opportunity to hoist the Stanley Cup. So those might be sticking points as well for the players.
Tux, do you like the format? Like, I mean, we had Mark Giordano on in the 4 p.m. hour, and he laid out that there was, you know, some conversations being thrown out that, you know, maybe go with 16 teams after the 68 game to see where they are at. But it made more sense to have 24 teams and kind of have everyone involved. Were you fine with it when you started to see that the format was laid out and how it may look?
Yeah, well, I'm getting one of those projector screens put in my backyard because we're going to be watching hockey all day long, all summer. So it'll be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be interesting for the people that are able to watch it. You know, you get a lot more teams involved, and the opportunity to, you know, play in the playoffs is what you play most of the season for anyway. So to get that opportunity, I think you should have more of a plan like they're having. And I don't mind it at all. I think it's going to make it exciting for the fans, even if the fans can't be in the buildings, to watch it on TV and get that opportunity to, you know, have your fans involved from that aspect. It'll be a lot of fun for everyone from a team perspective, for sure.
Darcy Tucker joining us on Overdrive. And if the Leafs are going to open things up in this kind of play-in round against the Columbus Blue Jackets, if this thing actually happens, Nick Foligno was on TSN last week, and he said one of the advantages that Columbus has is their coaching, and that John Tortorella is a veteran coach. Sheldon Keefe will be coaching in his first NHL playoff series. You know, I think of you playing on those Leaf teams with Pat Quinn. How much of an advantage is it to have a veteran coach in a playoff series?
So I think it's an advantage if you've played all year long and you're in the playoffs right away. This part of it's going to be really, really difficult to, figure out, the better coach, because at the end of the day, everybody's kind of going through it at the same time. So, playing for Pat was obviously a treat. He was obviously the type of guy that let his players be the guys they wanted to be on the ice. So it was easy for someone like myself to get away with some of the stupidity that I wanted to come up with at playoff time. But I mean, I don't think it's an advantage having a veteran coach in this sort of format. I don't. I think it's just going to be, the team that's the hottest and stays the hottest through the whole playoffs that are going to be the most successful. I don't think it's going to come down to as much coaching as everybody thinks it will.
I was going to say, after a playoff series in the best league in the world, unless a guy completely butchers a scenario and gets a wrong matchup, the idea of being totally outcoached, I don't even know if it's possible.
Well, they're so prepared. Oh, as well as I do, these guys are watching. They're so particular about getting back and getting into the swing of being a coach again. When you talk to them, they're like, I'm ready. I've got all scenarios played out. I've been watching tape. I've been watching videos. They're so prepared now. It's not like back in the old day where you threw the cassette tape in the middle of the dressing room and say, figure out your power play on your own. Everybody's so in tune with what they need to do from a video perspective.
It's going to be about adjustments. These teams are going to have 6 weeks to prepare, and they're going to know each other's tendencies. They're going to know which way a guy turns, which way he passes the puck. It's whoever. It's all going to be about adjustments.
That's right. I fully agree with that. So I don't put a lot of perspective into how it's going to play out coaching wise.
You mean they're not going to get the first period highlights from the previous game like Ricky Lee used to lay out for you guys?
No, it was
power play tape in the back.
Give it to Thomas and figure it out.
Yeah. No, I agree. The only thing that I keep thinking about, and I don't know if you guys have had this in your career, Tux, you may not have because you had Hazer in Kamloops, didn't you, Donnie Hay?
Yep.
So, I mean, you've had veteran coaches and guys who, were very confident. I know throughout my career there were times where I had once or twice, maybe not at the National Hockey League level, coaches that panicked behind the bench at critical times, and a team feeds off that. Now, I'm not suggesting Sheldon Keefe would ever do that. I'm just saying that, it does sometimes help when you have a guy who's confident.
Oh, the trust is gone if a guy panics. You're like, how can we trust this guy? He doesn't even know what he's doing.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't find that to be the case anymore. Like, most coaches now, they're so calm back there. I wouldn't be. I'd be snapping. Yeah. But, I mean, that's my personality. Most of the coaches now are all, well-prepared, and they're calm, and they feel comfortable in their scenarios and their setups. They know who's playing against who and what kind of matchup they want, and they stick to it, and if they have to adjust, they adjust, and they don't really get rattled behind the bench. Not many coaches anymore really get rattled.
Darcy, I'm inclined to ask you what you think of the matchup between the Leafs and the Blue Jackets would be like, but maybe the more important question is, how big is it for the Maple Leafs not to face Boston in a playoff series and just to get something going in playoff-like hockey against a team that hasn't had their, kind of had their way with the Maple Leafs over the last 8 or 9 years, whatever it's been now?
I think if I'm a player and I don't have to play the Bruins in the first round, I'm ecstatic, and that's not against anything. I don't want to play them in the first round. Sometimes it's a mental thing. Ottawa had a better team than us a couple of those times we beat them in the playoffs. We just had a mental, mindset over them that they couldn't get past. And that's sometimes it's hard to do, especially when you play against players that you've played against in the past, the Bergerons, the Marchands, the Charas. Like, those guys have that little bit of mental edge right now. And who's to say the Leafs wouldn't beat them? I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that it's a breath of fresh air to maybe play a different team and get a different matchup.
Tux, how are you going to handle this summer, buddy? Usually you go on a European vacation with 500 other people. What is the plan this summer if that can't happen?
Just call me Lefty. I'm going to be at Coppenwood, and you can find me up there, boys. I won't be traveling very far, just to the golf course and home.
Darcy, when you're playing and you're in the playoffs, and I bring this up only because we're talking about these hubs and the idea of the NHL kind of reserving a golf course for players. Like, when you were in the playoffs, did you ever play golf in between games?
Well, I don't know if we played in the playoffs. I'm trying to think. No, I don't remember. Half the time I couldn't walk, so I wasn't getting around the golf course anyway in the playoffs. I was so beat up. And, you know, at playoff time, you need your rest. So I don't really can't remember playing golf in the playoffs, but I remember playing every time we got an opportunity in the regular season to play golf, we were out in the golf course. But I don't know what the boys would do on off days if they're in a hub to get away from thinking about the game.
Well, if it's in Vegas, hopefully they've set up at the casino. You could go sit and have some cards and stuff like that. And if it's in Edmonton or one of these Canadian cities, Vancouver, it sounds like they are going to have a designated golf course or a designated, you know, situation where guys can go blow off some steam. I mean, if it's in Vancouver, I'd love for them to close off the Roxy. Go have a...
Forget the golf courses. Reserve the Roxy.
Something
tables
at least
reserved at the Rocks. That's beautiful.
Just to have some fun. I mean, you know what? It's going to be a battle. You know what it is. I mean, the guys are talking, and even the players I've talked to right now, it's 2 weeks to 2 months of a commitment. And I think that's why the NHL is throwing around, potentially in those first couple rounds, the best of five instead of the best of seven, just to have this, like, all-in type of 2 months condensed. If you're going to be away from potentially your family and your friends and everyone involved in your life, you know, you want to make sure that the commitment is worth it for a guy who's going to go the whole stretch. And really, there's going to be players that get weeded out and teams that get weeded out. Like I say, eight teams are going to go home right away within the first 2 weeks. And if you could have a best of five in the first, you know, 8 to 10 days, then, you know, really that commitment for those teams is just about focused and what you're going to do to go at it. So you got to have some form of entertainment, some form of a way for guys to just kind of decompress in between these hard fought games.
Yeah. I remember when I was really young and it was the best of fives in the first round, when I was a really young kid. And so it's kind of taking a few of us back to our childhoods for sure to watch those first rounds to get her going. So, it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited to watch hockey. I don't know about you guys, but I sure miss the game, and I miss it from a perspective of, you know, going down the rink. We're not going to get to have that opportunity, so the next best thing is to watch it on TV. And like I said, there's going to be games, what are going to be, 3-4 games a day, for crying out loud. You're going to get your fill of hockey for sure.
Well, Tux, always great having you on this show, and I'm kind of speaking on behalf of Brian Hayes, the usual host of this show, but I always love listening to you on the show.
He doesn't even like Hayes, so who cares?
That's why they brought me in today.
I cannot wait till that pigeon tries to stick handle it around on the greens up there. I would literally pay money to walk around and watch that.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
We're hoping to get that televised at some point, or maybe you can be there in the gallery. We'll try to figure out something, but all the best to you and your family, Darcy, and great having you on the show.
Appreciate it, guys. Stay safe.
There's Darcy Tucker joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom's open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota next to Wonderland or buy online at mapletoyota.com. Let's take a break here on Overdrive. When we return, host of FSN1's Speak for Yourself, Marcellus Wiley. I know.
Whoa, we got to replay that one after the break.
Marcellus Wiley joins us next on Overdrive. Please listen on TSN 1050 and TSN 4.
It is our duty on this show that when somebody has a bit of a hiccup...
FSN1, real tough to say, I know.
We like to revisit things.
Yes.
And before we went to break, we had the true honor of hearing this.
When we return, host of FSN1's Speak for Yourself, Marcellus Wiley.
Struggling.
Why did I keep wanting to say FSN? Like Fox
Sports.
Isn't
that the worst where you just can't do it? You can't say it.
But I love it. Here's the thing that I respect. You fought through it like a true champion.
And followed it up with, we're coming back after the break. Please listen.
Please don't change
like
the channel.
Do we have
that little snippet?
Please listen on TSN 1050 and TSN 4.
Please listen.
Our new send-off for the week. Please listen. You got to just say it. When we come back from the break, please listen.
Yes, yeah, there you go.
I love
don't
it.
Let hashtag guest please host listen. Take down the whole show. I'm going to get texts from Brian Hayes. All right, I'm coming in on Tuesday. You're ruining everything.
No way.
You are the face of TSN. That was not the face of TSN type move.
Nope.
But we move on.
We needed some comedy, and I guess I provided it for you guys.
You certainly did.
It was definitely a heavy weekend of news coverage going on with protests and riots throughout America. And, you know, one of the things that we've watched during COVID-19 was The Last Dance and Michael Jordan and the fact that one of the criticisms of Michael Jordan was that he was never political, and the famous or infamous line of, you know, Republicans buy shoes as well. Michael Jordan spoke out, and he was a guy that was very vocal about what's happened in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd. And he is a guy that, among many big athletes, kind of struck a chord with a lot of people, and just this kind of ripple effect that's going through this whole continent right now. And we touched upon a little bit at the beginning of the show, but you know, this is an opportunity for a lot of big names in sports to speak out. And you know, someone who's joining us now is a staple on this show. We love having him. I know I'm kind of speaking on behalf of Brian Hayes, the usual host, but Marcellus Wiley, who has a totally different perspective than the three of us have, being in Los Angeles. First off, Marcellus, really appreciate you coming on this show. We hope that you and your family are doing all right for a couple of reasons, but good to hear from you today on a Monday edition of Overdrive.
I appreciate you having me on, man. Love the show as always. And yeah, things are different and crazy down here again in the U.S. and across our country. It's really unfortunate, and it's really unfortunate because we've been here before and not much has changed.
As far as the sports element of it, Marcellus, what are your thoughts on people requesting hear from the Tiger Woods and LeBron James? Do you think that's a factor, or it should happen, or is it just, we talked about it off the start, it's like it's people above them that have to make the proper changes. Whether LeBron speaks or Tiger Woods speaks, I think it's great because it gets people's attention, but it's got to go way above their pay grade for things to change and things to happen.
Might have to pull a Brian Hayes here and cut things off. We'll get Marcellus Wiley back on the line just with better phone perception.
We definitely
want to hear what he has to say there. But yeah, I think it's a really good point, that there is... There's almost like the responsibility of a big star doing it, and not every star is equipped to do it.
Some are just not comfortable. They just feel like it's not like their place. It's
you're right, but it you know, is it their obligation? I don't think it is. I think what it is if they want to, they can help with their platform. If they want to help in different ways, then they can do that. Like, I don't think there's, again, this is uncharted territory and it's not my place to say, but if Michael Jordan wants to speak, I will listen. But if there's somebody else who is right in the mix, whether he's a political leader, if he's a doctor in the, like, who knows, telling his story, I want to listen. So to me, it doesn't matter whether it's LeBron James or it's Michael Jordan. Whoever wants to tell their story that has been there and has some experience that I can learn from, that's who I want to learn from.
Marcellus is back. Sorry, Marcellus, we're having some technical issues there, but we just want to hear your answer. We just kind of got cut off at the beginning.
Yeah, I just think it's unfair to put that type of pressure on any individual to speak on this issue or any issue to this regard in terms of using their celebrity and their platform and trying to
to maximize the exposure of this conversation, that is something that the individual has to feel inclined to do. That onus is something that has to come from inside you, not from outside and others. It's really unfortunate if you look at what's happening right now, because the greatest change is going to have to come from within individuals, everyone. I grew up in Los Angeles, born and raised Compton, California, South Central Los Angeles, and went through the 1992 riots. And it's a different day, but it's the same song. And for a guy who had to really rise from a lot of despair and issues in my community, I just want to tell people my slice of reality. Mm-hmm. If you understand how this works, this world, it's not easy for anyone, but it's not impossible for anyone as well. And that's the beauty of this. America has its issues. Every single situation and system has its issues. And out here, we know it's highlighted by racial tensions and racial issues. And I'm talking to everyone, because the way that I was able to navigate through all of my circumstances is the realization that evil comes in all sizes, all colors, all shapes, all forms, all uniforms. Like, there's no situation that is perfect, because imperfect people are a part of it. But right now, there's a lot of despair in this world, a lot of despair in these streets. People don't feel that they're living in an existence that is level, in an mm-hmm. equal level playing field. People feel that they don't have opportunities, whether it's because of their color, because of their gender, et cetera. Because if you look at the rioters, the looters, the protesters, they're old, they're young, they're white, they're black, they're everybody. It's really a situation that a lot of the desperation is coming through. And for these things to change, I want people to understand, and I'm going to be frank, it's never going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have to make it best for yourself. And that's a self-responsibility that a lot of people emotionally, they don't want to take, and then in action, they don't want to follow through with. And if we can't get to that place where we're trying to change policy, we're trying to change the system, the same eagerness that we're out here protesting and disrupting the system with right now, you have to have in terms of changing the actual policy and voting. It's just really unfortunate that a lot of our energy hopefully is going to be directed in the right place. But I'm scared to say, from a survivor of the last riot, and we're here again, that I don't know if people are going to really follow through with all the action necessary.
What is the current situation or the temperature in Los Angeles, Marcellus? Is it calmed a little bit, or is it high tension still? What is the current developments in Los Angeles?
Anxious. Anxiety. It's calm, and it's the calm before the storm at the same time. Every single day, there are peaceful protesters, and integrated in those peaceful protests are rioters, looters, and people who have destruction on their heart. And it's impossible to know what's the next step, the next move, because I'm driving through neighborhoods, and I'm looking at my city once again, have to board their windows, board their doors. Police presence, being outmanned in a city that has 10 million people, and we have 10,000 police officers. And then you add 1,000 of the National Guard, all outmanned, but trying to create order and civility. And the people are discouraged, and the people don't know which way to go. And if you see someone out, they're not out because they all have ill intentions. They're out because they think that their reality is harsh enough that this alternative of protesting or taking it even to worse measures is something that they'll take the risk of, and they'll actually roll the dice just for change. And if you notice the violence and the destruction, it's crazy. In 1992, it was even more chaotic than this. Mm-hmm. I remember tanks going down my street in 1992 as a high school senior. I remember seeing store owners on top of rooftops shooting at anyone in the street. Jeez. And I remember my favorite store across the street, convenience store, going in there and watching people run in while I'm in line looting. And I ran out of there. And once we get out of there, they burned that same store directly across the street from my house. Mm-hmm. it's a situation of despair and anxiety right now. So there's a lot of quote-unquote peace in the streets, but I'm scared to say that no one can tell you how long that will last.
Obviously, just sitting from afar in Toronto and watching the news, and you know, whatever station you choose, it's all over. It's painted all over, but there's different storylines. Is there anything, I guess, for lack of better words, that would give you a glimmer of maybe hope this time around? Maybe some optimism that things could change, or maybe it potentially could head in the right direction?
Oh. It's selective perception, which is such a beautiful dynamic that we all possess. We see what we want to see, and it's interesting. I've always used that to the best of my ability in terms of counting those things and people with me, not those things and people against me. Mm-hmm. And I use those things as ammunition to start to gain momentum, to have the energy to climb up the mountain for my life. Everyone needs to climb their own mountain and be victorious in terms of showing their character, showing their talents, showing who they really are to this world of the best ability. So many times I hear people get discouraged because they're looking for an athlete, a celebrity, someone with power or platform to change their world. My world did change, and it didn't change because a helicopter flew into Compton and saved me. I had to climb. I took so many losses. And it's kind of like a football game. It's kind of like the career path of any professional athlete that people are seeking their words from right now. We take so many losses, so many bumps, so many bruises. It's never a perfect record. It's never a perfect situation. Some of us are not big enough, fast enough, strong enough, but you still have to find a way. And I just want people to understand the hope is really within your inner power. Look at the world the right way. Even if that is not perfect, it's a way that can get you to the next step, the next way to get that energy going. And then collect those around you that are like-minded and are walking in the same steps. So very unfortunate that so much attention is on the negative when there's so much positive going around, even though it's not perfect. As Grandma used to say, they throw the lemons, not a big lemonade.
Marcellus Wiley from Fox Sports 1 joining us on Overdrive. And considering how they handled the Colin Kaepernick story, was there anything the NFL could have done this past weekend that would not have evoked the criticism that they received?
No. Those two situations, let me say these three situations, are being conflated and being intertwined, and it's very unfortunate to all three entities and individuals. Police brutality, racism, is older than the NFL. It's older than Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. I grew up in it. I'm older than Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick is not the symbol of this frustration for me, because he wasn't around in 1992 when I was dodging the police and getting shot at by store owners and looking at all the issues that were happening in my community. This is not a Colin Kaepernick issue. This is not an NFL issue. This is an evil issue that is disguised as racism right now. And if anybody knows the history of civilization, if anybody wants to read, I give you one book, Sapiens, any book out there that describes humanity from hello. Mm-hmm. Please understand this is going to be an imperfect experience. My grandma used to tell me the devil comes in disguise, and he doesn't wear red. That means he's going to come any and every way to distract you from your true essence and what your true goal in life is. And it's on you, even though it may sound hunky-dory, it may sound kumbaya, but if you don't keep your eyes on that prize of trying to make the best for you and yours, you'll never accomplish it. So The NFL comes out with their statement. I think it's independent of Colin Kaepernick, because everyone who's saying if they would have did right by Kaepernick, we wouldn't be here. Are we serious?
Yeah,
you think that police officer in Minnesota does something different because Colin Kaepernick's a quarterback in the NFL? Mm-hmm. Come on, people. Like, I understand that when you're emotional, you're not thinking straight, but the desperation is taking over if people can't understand that these things are not connected fully. There's a deeper issue that we have to handle.
Marcellus, you have a perspective that the three of us don't have, that many listening and watching at home don't have as well. We wish that the subject was different and lighthearted, and we're having fun and we're talking about sports, but your words today are maybe more important than they'll ever be on this show. So we appreciate you coming on. I know it's emotional. I know it's difficult, but it's also very important to get that message out. So thanks so much for coming on the show, and the best to you and your family.
I appreciate it. Same to you, brothers. And thanks for the opportunity to voice it and the platform. And hopefully we get to talk a little more sports and a little more laughter in between the conversation. Appreciate
it. Hey, Marcellus. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Marcellus Wiley, former NFL player. He was great on ESPN. He's now great on Fox Sports 1. And, you know, he is a guy right in the center of one of the big kind of hot spots is the term we're using a lot of times in COVID-19 and the illness, but it's like different hot spots right now across America. And, you know, he in LA right now, like Santa Monica has a curfew of 4 o'clock, I think, in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, and like he said, they're boarding up stores, and he remembers Rodney King. Like, he's been through this before, and I think it's important to have him on the show, and it's a message that needs to get out there, and it's a difficult one. And I'm sure it's not easy for him to kind of bring back all these memories that he had as a teenager, as a high school senior, as he brought up.
Very well-spoken guy, and I thought his message was great. It's passionate, it's real, and he just kind of tells the truth. And I thought he was great. I thought that was the best segment he's had on our show. He was awesome.
Yeah, well, he's always so insightful.
Yeah, he's always great.
He always is great, but, you know, it's a real story. This is real life. And this is somebody who, you know, is on the show to talk football most of the times, but here he's able to talk through experience. Like he's flat out telling us, like, I was there in the Rodney King riots. That was my neighborhood with tanks. This is my city that I'm seeing, you know, same scenario 20 years later. Like, you know, that's why, at the start of the show, I want to listen, because how can you not learn from somebody who's actually telling you what their experience is from being in that scenario? So it's a tribute to him, but thank you for, you know, at least enlightening us a little bit for 10 minutes on what, you know, he's gone through and many people are going through right now as we sit here.
Yeah, and I brought up the NFL, and you can't think of the NFL when you're talking about this and not Colin Kaepernick. And I wasn't sure he was going to go down that road. But it's funny. It's almost a like, guys, that's not even like the biggest – that's not even close to being the biggest story right now, like whether or not Colin Kaepernick is playing in the NFL. You know,
no, and I saw people, you know, quote tweeting the NFL statement you know, saying now you can't make this statement now after the treatment that you have. You know, they're in a tough spot. Like they made their bed, and now they have to lie in it, unfortunately, in that scenario, because if they don't make a statement, people are going to say, well, you know, you're racist, you're this and that. If you make a statement, people are going to say, well, you know, you did this to Kaepernick, you didn't allow when he was going through the peaceful protest. So I think what they did is, hey, we're going to try and do the right thing and make a statement. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be received well based on our history, and they have to earn that one, unfortunately.
All right, great to have Marcellus on the show. Still to come, we're going to play this game called Yes Guy, No Guy.
Yes.
You've probably heard of it before.
Yeah, we invented it.
You guys invented it. Jim Taddy, who I think enjoys the game, will be a part of that segment. Also, Dave Pullen at 6:25. Overdrive continuing here on TSN 1050, TSN 4, and also on the TSN app.
If you guys are getting kind of cramped up with your spouse or better half or partner, whatever it may be, I have some advice. Get in your car on the weekend.
Write this down.
Yeah. Drive from Collingwood to Quebec, buy a cat, and then drive back in the car. The same car there and back.
Hold on a second.
It really freshens things up for being cramped in the same apartment for...
Can we confirm that you drove to Quebec and got a cat?
That is correct. Yes.
that's not your choice, right?
We're almost 2 hours into the show and we're only learning about this now?
By the way, it'll probably come wheeling around this table sometime. I don't know. My wife thought it was in Mississauga. It's in Quebec.
Oh. So. Are you a cat guy?
I kind of am. I kind of am. I never was before, but I kind of am.
Okay. We're on TV.
I'll show the cat before the end of the show.
Show
maybe.
The cat. Because did there, like, at 6:05, you know who's joining us. Did he not have a cat at one point?
Yeah, he wanted to call it Guy. So he was like, yes, Guy, no Guy.
I grew up.
We got to ask him first question. Do you have a cat named Guy?
Right. Is the cat still alive?
Yeah. Do you wear your underpants around the cat?
Wow.
Yeah. No, I threw up. I grew up with three cats and never again.
Why aren't you letting your kids have a dog? I thought your kids wanted a dog.
They want a cat. They want a dog. And they've got each other. They're two animals. That's it.
That's your rationale?
It's enough. Like, cats are...
Why do you get them a dog for crying out loud?
Dogs are just like another child. So you want... I'm cleaning up crap and mess as it is behind two kids.
That's the one good thing about a cat, man. He goes in the little litter box and it's no mess.
So there's a box of sand in your basement that you got to go and scoop the crap out of.
Yeah.
And then
literally.
It sheds everywhere.
No, this guy doesn't shed, man.
I'm telling you, I'm not a cat guy.
His name's Hank the Cat, buddy. Just like Kadri's cat, buddy. He's going to be as popular as Kadri.
Nice. Yeah,
Mark Masters can do a story on him then. There you go.
Yeah.
O-Dog's cat.
Yeah.
You need one side of the relationship to at least be like a dog or a cat person.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing, Noodles, that you and Steph are both out on dogs? And it's only the kids that are driving that bus?
I think she... Who knows what she would like? I just know that at this point in the situation around here, there's no more room for anybody else. There's no room for animals or anything like that. Like, we're just trying to settle in. Can you imagine we're here for 81 days or whatever it is today, and a cat is rolling around or a dog's barking away or, you know.
You'd be like Dregs.
Not good. No,
Dregs has
it.
That horse
tiny.
Of it. Yeah.
Tiny. Imagine cleaning up Tiny's dumps in the backyard.
Exactly.
You would need a shovel.
Yeah, it's not good. I listen, and all the power to people that love cats and dogs. I respect them. They just don't like me, and I'm not a huge fan either.
You talk to our friend Andy Petrillo. She likes animals more than people. So
yeah, I think she does too. I really do.
You know,
I think she likes animals more than people. But listen, I think animals serve a purpose and a lot of love and all of that. It's just it's not in my wheelhouse.
Okay,
there were three cats that grew up in my house, and there was one I kind of liked. It was cool. The other two were not
idiot.
For me.
Oh, you can get an idiot cat in a heartbeat. I want to just slaps you in the face
scratching.
Every time you walk by.
Yeah, you walk by. You may be walking by. They're sitting on the counter. I don't know why they're on the counter. And they take a swipe at you. Like, okay. Or you sleep with one eye open because you think the cat's going to come in and scratch your eyes out.
Well, this one, apparently, it climbs. So,
like, does
listen to this one. My wife is asking me to put little shelves that climb up the wall so this cat can climb along the roof and build a little house for him in the roof, like in the living room.
The
so
ceiling,
he's going to wheel up on these shelves and like sleep in the roof of the like the living room. That's what this was going on.
Wow, this is a huge revelation here. Like
It just, you know what it is?
I know,
you're going to have a nice pair of pants on. You're going to go to leave the house, and it's going to be covered in cat hair, and you're going to need a lint roller. Or you know what's going to happen, too? You're going to walk in to your, if you have a walk-in closet or a closet, and you're going to have a nice, whatever it is, pair of pants sitting there or a suit or something, and the cat will have pulled it down and made a bed for itself, and there's going to be
hair. What I'm concerned
everywhere.
About is I have a plate rack. Like, it's a really old home that's got one of those old plate racks, like midway through the drywall.
Yeah.
And there's plates, like nice plates my kids have made. This cat wants to wheel around everywhere. Those plates are gone.
Bye-bye.
Plates are gone.
Bye-bye, for sure.
Yeah.
That cat already owns your place.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Wait till the shelves go up, the cat shelves, so he climbs the wall. He loves it.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So that's quite the road trip that you took.
Yeah.
That's it.
5:30 in the morning. Vaughan, Collingwood, Quebec, back to Vaughan, and then back to Collingwood, all before 2 in the afternoon.
Right. Like, it's not like you can... I guess you could have stayed in, like, a hotel on the way or something, but that's...
No, not happening.
Not happening right now.
It was a mission.
Wow.
It was a mission.
Okay. Well, you're a new man.
Yeah. I don't know.
Are you looking at the cat right now?
No, oh, my okay. wife's giving me the hairy eyeball okay. over here. She heard the cat chat and
okay. Wow. Yeah. Speaking of hairy eyeballs, Jim Taddy's been giving you a hairy eyeball for a while because you're taking ownership of Yes Guy, No Guy. So we're going to try.
I'm not taking ownership. I started the segment, and then he grew the mustache and tried to steal it.
Okay. We're going to try to get that settled. We're actually going to play Yes Guy, No Guy. We also have Dave Pullen at 625 as Overdrive continues here on TSN 1050 on TSN 4 and also streaming on the TSN app.